for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, December the 28th, 2014, Carter B. Todd is the speaker of the morning, teaching on Jesus is the Gift.
Good morning. Before I get started, I want to give a testimony. If you were here Thanksgiving, I started out by thanking God for things that I've overlooked in my life, just like the fact of being born in America. Thankful for that. Thankful for the simple pleasures of life, clean water, a house to live in, the freedom to get in my car and go wherever I want to go with, you know. There are lots of places in the world that they don't have those freedoms. They don't have the luxuries. They don't have the blessings that we have had in America. And a lot of times I realize, especially this year, how much I've taken that for granted. But I want to add something to that list of Thanksgiving, and that is that I am alive today. Because when I went home from the Thanksgiving camp, I had a wreck on the way home from camp. And it is a miracle that I am standing here. I brought just a piece of something that was in the car with me. I was about 10 miles from home. And there's a little town about 15 miles from where I live. And I had stopped at the store and bought some salad stuff. A romaine lettuce. You know how it's connected at the bottom and there's usually a twisty tie to hold all the leaves together. One of those little bubbles of cherry tomatoes. Some broccoli. And another little bag of mixed things. I wanted spinach, but they didn't have a small bag. You didn't have to buy a 10-pound bag of spinach. I just needed a little bit. So I bought the spring mix or some kind of a mix in a bag. Well, when I left the store, about 5 miles down the road, it had been raining lightly. And my car, there was a curve, and I had 4 brand new tires on my car. And in my understanding, there was no reason this should have happened at all. I was not going too fast, but I did have my cruise control set, and I've learned since then that you shouldn't set your cruise control when it's raining or when the roads are wet. Anyway, I ran around this curve, and when my front wheels got to the straight way of the road, my back end kept coming. It just kept coming like this until I could see like the rear of my car over here. And before I knew it, my back end was more in, you know, forward than my front end. And I knew there was nothing, I didn't know how to fix that. And I just grabbed the steering wheel, but I did say, oh, Jesus, because I knew it wasn't going to be good. After that, I couldn't tell you what happened. And only God and the angels and the demons know how close death came to me that night. Because I couldn't tell you. It was like my car had been picked up in a tornado. That's how it felt to me on the inside. So violent. That's the only word that I could explain. Violent. And before I knew it, I knew I had gone off the road because it was very rough and loud. And when my car made the impact, I hit backwards. I knew I was going backwards very fast. That was kind of strange. But I hit a dirt embankment, thank God, because there are trees where I live. I live in the tiny woods of East Texas, and there are trees. You don't want to hit a tree. They don't move. So I hit a dirt embankment completely backwards. And with the force that the front end of my car swung around frontwards and hit a tree and came down very hard. I knew the last thing that happened was a big kabump. And so when I knew that I was still, I opened my eyes. I don't know if I had my eyes closed, but it was the first thing that came out of my mouth verbally was, "I'm not dead." Because I really, you know, that was a real possibility. So my car ended up at a 45-degree angle against the tree with limbs and everything all over me, and because I'd hit some things along the way. And I had to crawl down to get out of the car. I noticed when I went to open the door, there were two little ripe tomatoes sitting in the cup, you know, where your handle is, two little ripe tomatoes. And there was lettuce. It looked like a tossed salad inside my car. There was lettuce stuck to the inside of my windshield. Everything was scattered. And, you know, if you have your cell phone, I usually put it in that little cup of the door handle or down on my console. And it's loose. Okay, so after I came to a stop, and I didn't think I was hurt, and I wasn't, got out of the car, but the first thing I did after I checked everything was lay my hands on myself and, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a reversal of any damage that took place to my body in that violence." And then I looked and went, "Oh, my car." It was wrecked. Okay, so then I thought, I heard a car coming from, you know, before it got to the curb that I had, you know, spun out of control on. And it was down a steep embankment from the road to the trees down there. Thank God I didn't hit the guardrail and go over on the other side, because there was a creek bed there. And I don't know if I would have gotten out of that so soundly, or would they have found me, you know, if I'd been knocked unconscious, but that didn't happen. And so I tried to climb up, because it was slick and wet and dirt muddy, to flag down this car that was coming. Went right on by, didn't even see me. And then I thought, I need help. For one thing, I didn't have a way home. So I went back down and climbed into the car thinking there is no telling where that phone is in this car. So I crawled in, and it was just sitting right on the passenger seat, just right there. So, you know, these are things that in the moment you don't think about. But later I thought, how in the world was that phone sitting just right there? Well, here's the other thing. I don't get a signal in this area. But I remembered that 911, you can dial 911, signal or not. And so the lady came on the phone and I said, "I need help. I've had an accident." "Well, I'll send an ambulance." "No, I don't think I need an ambulance. I just need a way home. Can you call my husband?" She said, "No, I can't, but when the emergency vehicles get there, you can use one of their phones." So I hear another car coming, and this is like, okay, this little bitty town doesn't even have a wrecker. They have to come from another 30 miles away. So the emergency vehicles came, volunteer fire department, but I heard a car coming again, so I had found my cell phone, so I turned on my flashlight, because it's dark in them woods, especially when it's raining. So I turned on my flashlight, and I was going like this to the car that was coming. And the man pulled over. Now, he didn't have a cell phone either. So when the emergency vehicles got there, well, he saw me. He couldn't imagine what I was doing, because he didn't see my car because it was way down there crashed in the truck. And he said, "Well, is that your car down there?" For some reason, I turned on the flashers once I wrecked. He was like, "Okay, turn on my flashers, you know, caution." So, but I thought maybe, you know, it might bring more attention or something. So, the next guy that stopped had a cell phone. So I called my husband. And I was just like this. I mean, I was perfectly at peace. I wasn't hurt. I wasn't rattled. You know, and I don't even realize that either until I tell a story and they're like, you were out there all by yourself and it was dark. And I'm like, yeah. But I wasn't afraid. I wasn't rattled. I wasn't crying. I wasn't upset. So I dial and nobody answers. And I thought, uh-oh. They don't recognize the number, so they're not answering. So I said, Lord, I send an angel to Mike right now and tell him to answer the phone. Not Mama, because we live with his parents now. We take care of them. I didn't want her to answer the phone. I want Mike to answer the phone. So I hear, hello? I said, hi, honey. He said, what number are you calling from? I said, well, that's why I'm calling. I need you to bring the truck and come get me. I've had an accident. And he said, oh, okay. Well, where are you? I said, 1 mile south of Six Mile Bridge. He said, okay, I'm on my way. So he gets there, and he didn't tell me this that night. But the next day, I said, well, Mike, what were your thoughts? And he said, well, I got to tell you, I was a little bit in shock because I wasn't expecting what I found. You know, the way you sounded on the phone, I thought, okay, she's had a fender bender. The wheels were up in the side. She can't drive, something like that. He said, I sure wasn't expecting this. I said, I know you weren't. So anyway, he said, are you sure you're not hurt? I said, I'm not hurt. So we had to transfer everything from my car to his truck. And the highway, of course, I got a ticket. How do you like that? It's a state law in Texas that if you lose control of the vehicle, no matter what the circumstances, you get a ticket. So Mike called and talked to him, and I've got to go see the judge. So pray for me for grace and mercy not to have to pay for a ticket. But anyway, okay, so here is, after everything was said and done, I wanted to go get my salad stuff. Well, I was picking up pieces of lettuce, and then I was looking for the bag, and this is the bag. This is the bag. It still has little shreds of lettuce on the inside. But I couldn't get over how beat up this bag was, but do you know where I found the bag? This was looped over my brake pedal on the floor. And I am thinking, how in the world did that happen? How in the world? Well, so the next morning we went, and it was daylight. I found the romaine lettuce, what was left of it, was up in the windshield where the dash meets the windshield, way tucked in there, and it was just pulverized. And I thought, wow, that could have been me. And, you know, ever since then, every day, that has stuck with me. Because if you look at the car, it doesn't really exhibit the violence that took place in that car. So, here again is a testimony of protection, God's protection. I mean, because that car was totally out of control. Like I said, only God knows what really happened. But I am thankful to be here today. Okay, so today I want to talk to us about the gift of God, Jesus Christ. That's why I have that right there. Jesus is the gift. Jesus is God's gift to us. God's gift to the world. And I want to talk about this in relationship with healing, because healing is a gift. And many of us have infirmities that Jesus died so that we could be made whole. And he told me, I don't know if it was 1 year ago or 2 years ago, I want my people healed. And I said, I know, Lord. And he said, I want my people healed. And I said, got it. Okay. The healing is one of the first things that I experienced whenever I met the Lord. And I know the reality of healing. I wrote a little booklet. At first, I mean, it took me many years to write on this because what really made me do it is because I got so tired of losing good Christian people to cancer. So for many years, I just had it like on notebook paper or typing paper, stapled on the edges, but it was the same material that's inside this, and I called it Fight for Your Life, because it is a fight. You have to fight for your life. And we are fighters. If you're not a fighter, you need to become a fighter. Because as he said last night, and as God is making really real to me, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. I don't care who your problem is with. It's not them. It's the spirit in them. It is the devil, demons in them that are causing you problems. So if you're interested, there are some back there. And I also deal with the issue of salvation in here, because everybody, I used to think when I was a new Christian that only Christians had eternal life with Jesus, and that's true, but everybody has eternal life. It just depends on where you spend it, because we don't really die. Our body dies, but our spirit just changes addresses. So, this is called Jesus is the Gift. I'm going to start by reading in John chapter 4, if you want to turn there. I'm reading from the King James Bible because it makes a difference. Only because translations are translating and translating and translating and translating. Sometimes you have a far cry from what the original text really said. John 4, verse 3, speaking of Jesus. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. It was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So you see here that Jesus refers to himself as the gift of God. Jesus is the gift. Now, that word means a gratuity, a free gift, a present, a donation, that which is given without compensation or equivalent. That's what a gift is. A present, specifically a sacrifice, a gift, or an offering. In the definition, it says, that which is given without a compensation or equivalent. That's important. I know people that cannot receive a gift. I know those who like to be the gift giver, but they can't receive the gift themselves. Or if they receive a gift, they feel like they have to respond in like manner. You give me a gift, I give you a gift. You give me an expensive gift, I need to give you a gift at least as much as that. I mean, I hear these things from people, and I'm like, what? Or if they receive a gift, they feel obligated to that or if they receive a gift, they think the other person will expect something from them because of the gift. I'll never forget the first time one of my relatives gave me a gift. And I was in the next generation. And my mother said, just wait. She's going to be calling it back on you. I said, what? Well, she gave you a gift. She's going to expect something from you in return. You just wait. You're no different than any of the rest of us. We get a gift, and then she calls on us to have to do something, and we have to do it because she gave us the gift. And I'm like, that's not a gift. And if you feel like you owe her something because she gave you the gift, you don't know what a gift is. That's not a gift. They don't want to be, people will not receive a gift because they don't want to be indebted to that person. They don't want to feel guilty for not having a gift for them. There's all kinds of junk going on around these gifts. Or some people won't receive the gift because they don't feel like they deserve the gift, or they're not even worthy to get the gift that they're being given. So if this describes any of you, you really don't understand the meaning of the word gift. And the problem with not being able to receive is that everything that we get from God has to be received. He is freely giving, and we must freely learn to receive from Him. Because whatever you're praying for from Him, you can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't get good enough to deserve it. It's a gift. And Jesus is the gift. Everything I've ever needed, Jesus has provided it in Himself, because He is the gift. If you've ever had a bank account, you understand what it means to withdraw from your account, right? You make a withdrawal, you give it to them, they give you money. Well, the principle is the same. In Jesus, we have an account. Things provided by His death, by His resurrection, by His life, by Him giving Himself as the gift. God gave Him to us as a gift. And I want you to become a receiver. This is a funnel. One time God gave me a picture, speaking of pictures. It was Jesus at the top, like on a throne, and there were these rays coming down, like rain, and on each of those rays was a word: healing, deliverance, peace, joy, assurance, protection, health, everything that is of Him, He is constantly pouring out. My question to you is, are you like this? Which is like this. How much can get in there? If it started to rain, how much water could get in that little hole? But how much water can get in this? When we present ourselves as a receiver from Him for whatever it is we need, it's from Him. Jesus said in the prayer before He was crucified in John 17, verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word." Now, depending on what your translation is, in John 17:6, many of them say, "And that I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them to me." You see the difference? There's a huge difference there. He said that the men which thou gavest me out of the world, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. God gave Jesus to us. We're not God. We're not Jesus' gifts. We're not God's gifts. We're not God's gifts to God or gifts to God. We are to receive the gift that He gave. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus is the gift. Jesus makes another important point in those scriptures I first read. He said to the woman, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. That's an important point. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is talking, He's telling her, I am the gift of God. And that's what I'm telling you today. Jesus is the gift. Do you know the gift of God? Or do you know about the gift of God? In John 4, verse 29, she said, she went. Now, I skipped some scriptures there, and I'm thinking about it as I speak. I didn't write these down in the text. But, you know, let me just go there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it injustice. John chapter 4, verse 11. Okay. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle? See, here she is talking about tradition. They had tradition that they followed, and they had ancestor worship, I call it. They worshiped the fathers instead of the true Jesus. They didn't know Jesus. In 13, he said, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into eternal life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. See, she's thinking of it in a physical sense. If he gives her that living water, she won't ever have to come out here and get water again. That's not what he was saying. So Jesus said to her, now this is why I wanted to add this in here, because Jesus required or gave her an opportunity to come clean with him, to be honest, to be open. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. That sayest thou truly. Today is time to come clean with God. He knows already. You can't get it past the one who knows everything. The thing that you're hiding, the thing that keeps you from coming close to Jesus, just come clean with it. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, who is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. What an amazing thing. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with this woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. So I'm a person, like I can read, but while I read, I see pictures. You know, it's like people say, oh, have you ever been to Israel? No, I've already been. You know, when I read the word, I'm there. I mean, I have walked all the places that Jesus walked, all the places that the other people have walked. I've been there. It happens when I read it, I see it. And so here she is. She's gone now to tell all the people in the city to come see the man who told me everything I ever did. Is this not the Christ? And he just told her, I am him. Okay. Now the food and everything. Let me go back to my notes because that's where I made the point. Okay, 4:29. Come see a man which told me all the things I ever did. Is this not the Christ? And the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman. This is what I mean. Do you believe on him because you have had an encounter with him, or are you believing on him from what others have told you about him? So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So do you know the gift of God? Or have you heard what others have said about him, and you're believing because of what others have said and what you've seen happen to others? Or have you heard him yourself and believed? That's important. And if you haven't, just tell him. That was my first sincere prayer when my brother got saved. I had been raised in the church, went to church every single Sunday of my life, and never met Jesus. I knew about him, but I didn't know him for myself. And when my brother got saved, I knew I could see in him something I knew I didn't have. And my first sincere prayer was, Lord, I want to know you like my brother knows you. That was my prayer. And I was saved about a year later. I know because I've heard him myself. John 5:1. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. And that word means house of kindness. I had never thought to look that word up. It means house of kindness, having 5 porches. John 5:3. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of water. Impotent means to be feeble in any sense, to be diseased, be sick, weak by any means, blind, they couldn't see, spiritually or literally. Halt means limping, crippled, or lame. Withered means dried up, shriveled, such as like a healthy plant versus a dried up, shriveled plant. Any feeble. And here they were, waiting for the movement of water. Do you ever wonder about that water? Do you ever wonder about that pool? I wondered what it was all about, because it doesn't have anything to do with God. Was it superstition? You know, we hear of things happen like this from time to time. In fact, it happens so often that sometimes my husband will say, like, I was holding up the bag. Look at this bag. He said, I think I see the face of Jesus in that bag. Because, you know, people, it'll go viral on the internet of a piece of cheese toast that has the face of Jesus in it. You know how people are just picking things out like this. or there'll be a statue of Mary that has started to cry tears. And people rush to go see this statue. Some of them touch the tears and they're healed. All these miracles are reported around these things. Those are not of God.
Amen.
Those things are really utterly witchcraft. Superstition. Here's the definition of superstition. The belief of what is absurd. How about that? Our belief without evidence. False religion. False worship. Belief in the direct agency of superior powers in certain extraordinary or singular events. Or in omens and prognostics. That's the explanation of these pictures. These things that start bleeding and crying and all these things, and people just rush to it like crazy. Because you know why? People are desperate. But they're looking to the wrong thing. This was a tradition, had become a tradition for the people in this area, that if they needed a healing, they would go lay out by this pool. And the saying was, and I don't doubt that it happened, that an angel would come down and trouble the water, and the first one that got in would get healed. Now, does that sound like Jesus or God? No. God sent Jesus. He's the healer. He healed them all. You know, the only place he couldn't do it was in his own hometown. My mama throws that at me sometimes. Well, Punkin, I just don't understand how you can help all these people, but you can't do anything with your own family. And I said, well, Jesus had the same problem, Mama. I mean, he could do no mighty works in his own hometown because of their unbelief. They're like, isn't that Carla? We went to school with her. You know, those kind of things. Tradition. That was their tradition. And what did Jesus say about tradition? Matthew 15:6. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. What is our tradition? What has America's tradition become? Well, we go to church on Sunday, and Monday we call the doctor and make a doctor's appointment. Isn't that what we do? That's what our mamas did. That's what our grandmamas did. Now, pretty far back there, when they couldn't get to the doctor, they knew how to pray. Those people knew how to pray. But we have modernized things. We go to God with our spiritual needs. We go to the doctor with our physical needs. And we go to the bank for our financial needs. Listen, he is our all in all. He is our all in all. And God has... He has put things in an order, especially for his people. In the church, he says in James 5:14, let's read that. You know, there was a scripture, I didn't write it down, but there's a place where it says that Jesus was in a house with the Pharisees and some lawyers and some doctors, and the power was present to heal. The power was present to heal. As he was teaching, the power to heal was present. Same thing can happen this morning. He is here. He is here. James 5:14. Is any among you sick? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So see, that's the order that God has set up in the church. If any are sick, let them call on the elders of the church. You know, I haven't revised this. I always said it next time I have it printed, but this is the like second printing, I think, and I didn't revise it. But I'm here to tell you that one thing I talk about is that I went to a church that did not practice this. Now, after I started reading the Bible and understanding what the order that God had set up, I started practicing that. I was in another church, not the one I grew up in. So I called them up and said, asked the lady who answered the phone, who are the elders of this church? Well, why do you want to know? Well, because my son is sick and running fever and we're supposed to leave to go to a camp. And I wanted them to anoint him and pray for him so he could get well. I mean, that's just, I just believe easy. I just believe easy. This is what it says. And I believe it. Because God said, hey, this is my word. You either believe it or you don't. Okay? Lord, if it's in your word, I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to do it. Because in the same book of James, it says, if you be a hearer and not a doer, you deceive your own self. There's a lot of deception in the church because we hear it, but we don't do it. So I did it. And I asked to talk to the pastor. Well, he wasn't there, so I asked to talk to the associate pastor. And he said, well, we don't do that. And I was like, Lord, am I in the right church? I mean, how can this be a church and they're not even doing what your word says? I mean, I was very naive. Okay. So I got my own oil and anointed my son and prayed for him. And the fever broke and we went to camp. You know, God's also placed an order in the home. In Ephesians 5:23, let me just say this for you dads, grandfathers, men. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Did y'all get that? The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. That's pretty powerful. As Christ is head of the church, the husband is the head of the wife. And he, the husband, is the savior, little s, of the body, little b. Jesus is the capital S savior of the big body of Christ, but the husband is the little s savior of the little b body, his family, his wife and his children. And if the husband is the head of a wife, even as Christ is head of the church, then that means in the home, the husband has the same priestly position and power in the home. That's powerful. That the day God showed me that, I mean, if I don't feel good, I go straight to my husband. Honey, this, that, would you please pray for me? Now, at the beginning, he was real uncomfortable with that. You know, because he prays, but he prays quietly. But you know what? It says this, and if we begin to put a demand on the Jesus in our husbands, because guess what? As individuals, the world is going to start putting a demand on the Jesus in you.
Yeah.
You know why? The demons can see Jesus. We don't realize that we are vessels of the living God. And the demons can see the living God. And they're going to start putting a demand. I told that to my Bible study group, and the very next day in a Chinese food restaurant, this man who was in a wheelchair, I don't know how he had the strength to grab me, but he grabbed me and put a demand on the Jesus in me. He couldn't even speak. He had my arm, and he was shaking like this, and he was trying to put my hand on top of his head. And I told the woman that was with him, well, if I didn't know better, I would think that he wanted me to pray for him. Can I pray for him? So I did. I first said, well, what's the matter with him? Well, he had had a stroke, but he also had Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. He couldn't speak anymore. And so I just put my hands on his head and broke the curse of death off of him, spoke a reversal to what happened to him in the stroke. I don't even remember what all I prayed, what I've learned. I've prayed what I've learned. And my request because it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, God's not going to be challenged by your request, as long as you don't make it evil. If it's an evil request, Satan will answer it for you. God's not going to answer your evil request, but you got to be careful how you pray, because if you pray evil, God's not going to grant that, but the devil will come and the demons and grant that for you. So be careful. Then you step over into the realm of witchcraft.
Yes.
So wives, you feeling bad? Go to your husband. Put a demand on the Jesus in him. You know what? He may not even be a Christian, but let me tell you something. The man who takes the office of the President of the United States, every man that has stood in that place, the day before he was sworn in, he had no power. None. But when he took the position of President of the United States and was sworn in, he had all the power that belongs to the President of the United States. God has an order. He has positions that have authority. And we need to begin to acknowledge those. Okay, Mark 16. I know probably y'all know all of these scriptures. But until we get it. Mark 16:15. Jesus gives this commission to the 11 before he is ascended into heaven. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, he's saying this to the 11 that were left with him. But in this scripture, he is talking about all of us. And these signs shall follow those who believe. Can I see a show of hands of those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Then you need signs to be following you.
Yes.
You don't wait for the signs to start doing the work. When they asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works of God? And he said, believe on him whom he has sent. That's the works of God. Because when you believe, all the rest of it is going to happen. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. That's the very first thing. And praise God for that. Is it, you know, there are so many people who don't believe that a Christian can have a demon. A Christian cannot be possessed by a demon. But let me explain where the demons are. In the Old Testament, we have the tabernacle, the temple, and it's three parts. The outer court for all the people. The inner court for the priest. And then there's the Holy of Holies where God resided. And only one priest could go in there to tend to the things in the Holy of Holies. And then in the New Testament, we are referred to in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you are saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He resides in your Holy of Holies, which is your spirit. Your soul is your inner court, your mind, your will, and your emotions, and your body, your flesh body, is the outer court of that temple. And when the money changers were in the temple that Jesus went in and drove out, where were the money changers? They were in the outer court. They were defiling his father's house, and he drove them out. And immediately after that, it said, people came in and were healed. See, there can be demons in your flesh that are keeping you from being healed. And thank God we can cast out demons. Well, does that mean all sicknesses are demonic? Well, I say yes, except for the one scripture in John, I don't even know if I wrote that down. I think it's John chapter 9 maybe. It's where they came upon the blind man and they said to Jesus, was it his sin or his parents that caused him to be born blind? And Jesus said, neither his nor his parents, but that the glory of God might be manifest. The glory of God. See, healing is part of the glory of God. And when people are healed, see, Jesus had no prerequisites. He healed them all. And guess that there was an interesting thing that happened after they were healed. They glorified God. They didn't even glorify Jesus. They glorified God because they knew that's the only place that that could come from. Although there will be false prophets that will be doing signs and wonders in the end times, which are happening even now, that you're going to have discernment about. But they glorified God, and then they wanted to follow Jesus. Isn't that what we want for people? We want them to know God. We want them to follow Jesus. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. He said, follow me. He didn't say, follow this prophet or that prophet or this man of God or that man of God or that woman of God or anything. He said, follow me. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Man will let you down. And let me tell you what happens when you put a man up on a pedestal. You set him up for a fall. Okay. And these signs shall follow them who believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. That doesn't mean play with snakes. That doesn't mean to go to the snake churches. And if they drink any deadly thing, that doesn't mean go drink poison. But it does mean that if any of us are on a mission and we go somewhere and somebody pours poison in our drink, it can mean that it has no effect on us. Like the wreck. Had no effect. Other than tearing up my car, but I mean, that can be replaced. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Now, what if we were given a test today? How many of you are believers? How many of you cast out demons? How many of you laid hands on the sick and they recovered? Good, that's good. We're doing good. But, you know, before I knew all this and started doing all this, I would have flunked the test miserably. I'm not doing any of that. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. See, when you go, people used to challenge me, well, are you going in the flesh? Are you doing this in the flesh or are you doing this in spirit? I don't know. I'm being obedient to God's word. I didn't want to be doing it in the flesh. Did you wait for a special anointing to come before you did that? They obeyed, Jesus said, and the Lord did it. They obeyed, the Lord did the works. It's only required of us to go. Go. And to do. You know that scripture that says, those who know their God will be strong and do, and they added exploits. You know, it just says go and do. They will go and do. Exploits is a good word, and that's really what they are, the works and the miracles. Those are exploits. But we are to go. Those who know their God will be strong and do. It is the Lord's cooperation that results in the signs. We don't have to wait for the anointing. Let me tell you, if you go, the anointing will lead us there. When you obey the word of God, He is the anointing that will meet us there and confirm his word with signs following. John 5:4, this is continuing being here at the pool. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that cave, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? That's the question today. Wilt thou be made whole? How many have an infirmity of any kind? Anything that I read a while ago in that description, feeble, impotent, diseased, sick, weak by any means, blind, limping, crippled, lame, withered, dried up, shriveled, any feeble, wilt thou be made whole? Here's the most amazing fact. Well, he said to the man, wilt thou be made whole? And in John 5:7, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me in the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. So here was his dilemma. He's looking to the water, first of all, to be troubled. And then when it's troubled, he doesn't have anybody to help him get down there. So he's looking, first of all, to the wrong thing, and he's dependent on somebody else to get him there. And Jesus said, Wilt thou be made whole? He's looking to those things and to somebody else, and the healer is in his midst. It's the healer that is talking to him, that's asking him that question. Then Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Immediately, at the word of Jesus. That word whole means to save, that is, deliver or protect, heal, preserve, save, do well, be or make whole, complete, entire, not defective or imperfect, unimpaired, unbroken, uninjured, sound, not hurt or sick, restored to health and soundness. It means sound and well. In the story of the woman with the issue of blood, Matthew 9:21, for she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. She had heard about Jesus. And she knew that if she could just touch even his garment. Now, I could say a whole lot about this garment because there's a lot of things coming into the church. I'm just going to say one. There was a lady that I prayed for once, and she was telling me later that she also prays for people. And there was a woman who was elderly and just so full of fear to the point she was trembling. And she said, So I laid my tallit on her, and she got totally quiet and peaceful. And I said, You laid your what on her? What'd you lay on her? She said, A tallit. Like, don't you know what a tallit is? And I said, No. She said, A prayer shawl. And I said, Oh, okay. See, there are garments, but if they hold some kind of, like, magic, it's superstition, witchcraft, call it what you want. I may offend some people, but a lot of these things coming in and a lot of the things that are being taught about them and hailed and all of these things, be careful. I'm just telling you. Matthew 12:13, then saith he to the man, this is the man with the withered hand, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like the other. See, these are miracles. I love to hear testimonies. New Year's Eve, we have a testimony service. I don't know if they've changed that. I hope not. Okay, good. That's one of my favorite, most favorite things of the whole year is the testimonies, to hear the people testify of what God has done. Love it. But sometimes you hear a testimony, Oh, did you hear about so-and-so that got healed? And I went, I'm right there. I want to hear it. Well, so-and-so told them about this other doctor, and they went to the other, okay, not interested. I'm sorry, to me that's not a miracle. But anyway, Matthew 15:30. Okay, that word whole in this sense means to reconstitute. It means restore again. Matthew 15:30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and others, many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. That's the whole purpose of these glorious things, is that God be glorified, that the glory of God be manifested in the earth. I've had healings. I was healed of allergies. That was one thing. It was a generationally inherited curse. My grandma, my great-grandmother had allergies bad, my grandma, my daddy, and I inherited it. Sinus headaches, sinus infections, all that, sick twice a year, really, really sick twice a year. And I tell you what, I had had enough of that. And I read the story about the leper that was healed, went to Jesus and said, if you wanted to, you could heal me. He said, I want to. Be now healed, cleansed immediately. He was cleansed and healed. I had read that morning. I was so sick. And I'm driving somewhere, and I was talking to the Lord. I was frustrated. I didn't have a voice. My glands were all swollen and running fevers, second rounds of antibiotics, had gone to get a shot, all of the stuff that I had to do twice a year. But I read that about the leper, and I said to God, driving my car, Lord, I'm going to say to you, I'm a leper's bed. If you wanted to, you can heal me. And I heard immediately, I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it. And I was like, what? I don't know how. How do I receive it? I heard by faith. I said, okay. He said, did I not say it is finished? I said, yes, you did. Okay. I received it by faith. I didn't feel anything. You know, I didn't hear angels singing. I just said, I received it by faith. And I thank you for it right now. I thank you for it right now. Still had a headache, still had fever, still had swelling glands, but the next day I woke up and it was all gone. Healed. And I have not had any of that since then except for once. And let me tell you, there's a truth in this. My husband was kind of sick with allergies. He was running a little fever, had a cough. He felt terrible, but it was hunting season. And it was opening day. And he always made a trip with a friend, and they went hunting, and by golly, he was going hunting. And I said, honey, that is not smart. I'm going hunting. Okay. I said, well, I tell you what, you come home sick, don't look to me. Well, he came home sicker, and I just totally ignored him. Yeah, well, okay. Now, that was way back, way, way, way back. I've learned my lesson since then. And in a few days, I had a sinus infection. And you talk about repent quickly. I repented. Now, I haven't had any since then. But, you know, you have to be careful with the things of God. Okay. So, that's how I got healed of allergies. It's a gift. Healing is a gift. It's already done. He told me, what my people need to do is move from the place of asking over here where healing is. It is finished. Healing is the gift. Healing is a gift. The same way you got saved is the same way you're going to be healed. You believe. Believe on Him and receive. Another word for healthy is Another word for whole is healthy. That is well. Being in a sound state, enjoying health. Sound in Webster's Dictionary is entire, unbroken, not shaky, split, or defective. Undecayed, whole, perfect, or not defective. Not bruised, not lacerated, or decayed. whole, entire, unhurt, unmutilated, healthy, not diseased, not being in a morbid state, having all the organs complete and in perfect action as a sound body. Perfect as intellect, not enfeebled by age or accident, not wild or wandering, nor deranged, as in a sound mind. You want to hear some good news? The healer is in your midst. He's here. He's in our midst right now. Isaiah 53:1-5. I'm going to end with that. Isaiah 53:1-5. Well, I'm going to start at 3. It says of Jesus, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. We are healed. In 1 Peter, I think it's, it says, ye were healed. 1 Peter 2:22-24, it says, ye were healed. That's past tense. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. If they were sick, afflicted, whatever, they were being oppressed by the devil. That's what it says. It also spoke of the woman who was the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound. And in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Sickness is of the devil. And Jesus is here to destroy that work of sickness in your bodies. Now, the gift, first of all, a simple prayer of repentance. Father, forgive me for looking to other places and other people for my healing. You are my healer. Healing is a gift. And You died and shed every drop of Your blood for me to be whole. I'm making a withdrawal this morning. I want my healing. You did it for me. And I'm receiving it. In Jesus' name. Now, the gift. I hope I can open this. It's kind of difficult. I want you to take a step of faith this morning. You're going to make a withdrawal. Whatever it is you need is in here. And I want you to do it because it's going to be a visual. You're going to do it. There's nothing in here but a bunch of blank pieces of paper. But it's whatever you come up here for, that's what it is. To receive it from Him, the gift, who gave Himself so that you could be made whole. Receive it in Jesus' name. Now, I'm going to go ahead and bless the food because it's time to eat again. And then we're going to close by you just cutting all of those who want to come up and make a withdrawal from what Jesus did for you. Come up and just get a piece of paper and then you're dismissed. Lord, we thank You for this word. We thank You. Oh God, we thank You for the gift that You've given us in Jesus Christ. Really Yourself. You gave Yourself. We thank You for that and all that it means. And Lord, we receive it graciously this morning, and we thank You for it. We thank You for the food that we're about to eat. We're always thankful for the food that we eat, Lord. We ask You to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can come. If you want to come and make a withdrawal from Jesus this morning, whatever it is, receive it in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Every drop of Your blood. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.